Now, obviously, the biggest story that's circulating rugby league in the off-season is the supposed retirement of Denny Solomona allowed him to go to Sale. I mean, surely, Phil, this can't be allowed.
It's interesting. We've got three stories going on at the moment that are all sort of linked, of which Solomona's the first one. Then you've got Chris Sandow at Warrington and the ongoing situation with James Seguiara at Leeds, all of which are about the sanctity of a contract or otherwise, which... I guess the interesting thing with the Solomona case, is, for those that don't really know, he's sort of been enticed, I think, to break his agreement with Rugby League to sign for a rugby union club, which at the moment looks like it's going to be Sale, for a lot more money than he was on in Rugby League. And it raises the question of when is a contract not a contract. Chris Sandow had a year to run of his contract with Warrington. He's decided he's not coming back. James Seguiara has just signed a two-year contract with Leeds, gone back to Sydney for the off-season. The weather's obviously nicer there, and he's decided that perhaps he doesn't want to return. They're all for very different reasons. But I think one thing it does tell us is, where does Rugby League sit in the economic sporting food chain at the moment? And you'd have to say that, worryingly for those that love the sport, it's below those other offers that these players are getting. You could even extend this argument and say the NRL that we look at over there that we can't match in terms of the salary cap is also losing players to the NFL. And we've seen two of the finest young exponents of Rugby League, Jason Taumalolo, I think the best loose forward in the sport at the moment, and a youngster, Valentine Holmes from Cronulla, who's just won a premiership with him and has barely started on his rugby league career. They're now being enticed by the riches on offer in the NFL. So I think we need to look at each case differently, what the common ground is, how do you prevent it, but how does Rugby League make itself economically more attractive to keep its star names?
This is something I wanted to say as well, because it seems to almost set a dangerous precedent. This could be as big as the Bosman ruling in football, really, for Rugby League now, couldn't it?
I think so. I think we've got to get away from the fact that it's Rugby League and Rugby Union. I think these are two separate sports. They're independently administered. Rugby League has traded for 100-odd years on taking the best players from Rugby Union to enhance its sport. But the parameters changed in 1995. We got Super League in Rugby League and every team going full-time in the top flight. And we got the Rugby Union openly agreeing to professionalism. So in certain unions, they'd paid what was known as boot money. They'd sort of professionalised their players to stay, particularly in Wales. But it was still, to all intents and purposes, an amateur sport. But in 1995, it openly admitted that there would be payment for players. And I think that changes the battleground slightly, because now we're talking about contracted players. And if you sign a contract, does that prevent you from playing another sport? Or if you decide you want to give up one sport and go to another one, then you've signed an agreement to stay, what compensation is payable either between the sports or between the clubs, or I think perhaps more importantly, the player themselves buying out the remainder of their contract to move on to different employment? And I think that would apply in any walk of life as well. We'd seen it a little bit with Sonny Bill Williams, who went from Rugby League to Rugby Union and walked out on the remainder of a contract and was forced to pay money back to the club to effectively release him to play Rugby Union. So the danger for me with the Solomona case from the Rugby Union side is that if there is material evidence, which there seems to be, that he's been involved with Sale before he's either started negotiations or come to some agreement with his current club, Castleford, then I think there is a case there for a sports lawyer saying that he's been incited to move, even if it is for more money and Castleford are due a payment to release him from his current commitment.
Certainly very interesting indeed. And as you say there, Phil, while this is going on, the Seguiara case is also happening over at the Leeds Rhinos. Now, it did seem that Rhinos fans were very excited at the idea of Seguiara committing his future. But what seems fairly strange to me is just the general turnaround. Surely you've got to be able to honour your contract for a certain length of time.
I think this is a really interesting one about mental health issues and mental welfare. I think we're all very aware at the moment that there's some fantastic work being done in the sport by people like Stevie Ward, Lou Kambler, even the RFL themselves, state of mind about mental health, and I think we obviously need to pay huge heedance to that. We need to take it incredibly seriously. When somebody starts to say that they prefer the standard of living on the other side of the world and they're feeling a bit lonely, that's a mental welfare issue, I think. And there may be a distinction drawn with the Seguiaro case. He was happy to sign a two-year contract at Leeds at the end of last season. When interviewed, I remember him saying things like, you know, he loved the South Stand, singing his name in a song. He'd never had that before. He actually quite liked the idea of a bit more anonymity in Leeds, and that he wasn't being pressurised if he went out for a cup of coffee. So to then go back home and say, actually, I was really lonely. I think if we're being brutally honest, obviously he's been made an offer by Cronulla. They are the reigning premiers. I think he's got some very close friends in that team. And the money on offer will be significantly more than he can get at Leeds. And I think, again, there is an honourable way to extricate yourself from a contract. He wasn't forced to sign for Leeds for these extra 2 years. That Cronulla offer, I don't think, was on the table. He's gone back home. Their star hooker, Michael Ennis, retired. I think they've decided that although they've got a young guy, Manaya Cherrington, coming in to take his place, he's probably not quite ready, and Seguiaro would be a very good fit. And I just don't think you can walk away from your responsibilities. So either Cronulla would have to say, here is a payment to release him from his contract, or again, the player would have to negotiate an out from Leeds. Now, and I think there's more mileage in this. That's why I believe Leeds are taking the line that they are publicly. I think privately, they know that in all reality, he isn't going to be coming back, I don't think. And Gary Hetherington is out there in Australia at the moment, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking for a replacement or even trying to negotiate with Cronulla to see if they've got anybody on their roster like he did with Zach Hardacre and Penrith. I think we came to an agreement whereby Hardacre would go and pursue his career in the NRL, and Seguiaro, who was surplus to requirements at Penrith at the time, came over to the Leeds, and it was a good fit for both. So I don't think we've heard the end of the story, but I'd be very, very surprised if Seguiaro pulls on a Leeds shirt again.
And I suppose if this one thing that this proves, Phil, is that rugby league's never boring, even when there's no games being played generally.
Well, we had an interesting statement from the governing body yesterday that was about three paragraphs long about how it was looking at organisational change. And I would imagine one of the things that obviously is concerning the people at Red Hall is the fact that our players are now being picked off because economically we're not as strong as we would like to be. And I think they need to find ways of getting more people watching the sport, playing the sport and investing in the sport. I've reread that press release three times. I have no idea what it says, but as you say, it's never boring.
That's very true, and everyone here is exactly the same, Phil. We've all read through it, and we just can't make head or tail of it. Something about digital social stuff, and I couldn't fully understand it
myself. I'm only grateful it didn't have the word stakeholder in it three times.
That is very true. Phil, it's always an absolute delight having you here on the daytime. Thank you so much for joining us here on the daytime today, Phil.
No problem. And any time.